So good morning and welcome to the bioinformatics session. So we will begin with Edward Lee, which will present our package Alphabet to determine the paired T-cell receptor sequences. And he's a PhD student at the University of Glasgow. And he's also one of the three winners of the Young Academic Scholarship given this year by the USAR conference.
Thank you. I'd first like to thank the conference organizers for awarding me that scholarship. Just really honored to be here and to talk about the package that came out of what's become the core of my PhD work. So I do primarily identify myself as an immunologist, but the lab I work in, we do a lot of mathematical modeling with differential equations, and this package actually came out of a side project. I was only supposed to last for 3 months, and it ended up taking 2 years, but this package came out of it. So this is the outline of my talk. I'm going to go through some immunology background, define the question that we're trying to solve, our approach to solving it, and then the package that implements that solution. So I'm a T-cell biologist, and obviously I think T-cells are the most important things in the immune system. And basically, long story short, T cells are the mastermind of the adaptive immune system. And you can think of the adaptive immunity as the part of the immune system that learns from bugs that it sees and infections that it's seen in the past and use that to create robust immune responses. And I think this video really illustrates how important these things can be. So we have a cancer cell here, the T cell interacts with it, and then the cancer cell dies. And this is quite amazing. So the main important protein that a T cell expresses that allows it to do this is uncreatively called the T cell receptor. It's made up of two chains, an alpha chain and a beta chain. And essentially, this groove here up top, the shape of that determines what the T cell can respond to. It's called the CDR3, and the CDR3 groove here is made up of both a part of the alpha chain and the beta chain, and it's the shape contributed by both chains that determine what the T cell can respond to. So the way this works is, let's say USAR is a human body, and it's infected with a MATLAB user and an Excel user. And what do we do about this infection? Well, luckily, we have two T cells that have CDR3s that can fit the logos of these two things. And it alerts the body that we have an infection, a whole bunch of events happen, and the infection is cleared. So with that in mind, how do T cells give us the ability to respond to any bug that our body sees? And it does that by having a whole repertoire of different unique T cell receptors, and we're talking about millions of them. So if all these colors represent different T cell receptors, when one bug comes along, we have a subset of T cell receptors that can respond to that. Another bug comes along, we have other T cells that can respond to that. And finally, another bug comes along, and we have other T cells that can respond to that as well. And so it's this amazing idea that the body, the immune system, creates unique T cell receptors, and then we have a whole bunch of them to be able to respond to almost anything that comes along. And so what do we want to ask? So basically we want to identify these T cell receptors, and we want to quantify them and have an idea of like what makes a good T cell receptor, what makes a bad T cell receptor. And in order to do that, we first have to be able to identify them. And so our goal here is to identify these by looking, trying to find the sequences that make up this groove and find the sequences of the groove contributed by both the alpha chain and the beta chain. So what we want to end up with is a pair of sequences, one of the alpha chain and one for the beta chain. And so you can immediately think like why this could be useful if we think about, say, designing a cancer immunotherapy. If we can identify the T cell receptors that are good against responding to a tumor, that would give us so much information on how to design a good immunotherapy. So, why is this hard? Well, first, with standard sequencing, we would lose pairing information. So if we were to take these three T cells, sequence the alpha and the beta chains, we would get three alphas and three betas, but we wouldn't know which pairs with which. So in order to get around this, immunologists have done some variation of single-cell sequencing where they'll take the T cells, physically separate them into individual cells, and then sequence each individual cell, maintaining the pairing information. And this does work to get the paired sequences that we'd want, but first of all, this procedure is expensive. There are a lot of sequencing that needs to be done. And secondly, it doesn't scale to cover the thousands of T cells that would be involved in a typical immune response. So in its current state, this is not it's not good enough to answer the questions that we would like to answer. Why don't we skip that? Right. So our problem here is standard sequencing. We can't get paired sequences. Single-cell sequencing, not scalable enough. So we asked, could we come up with something that's affordable and high throughput? And so we thought, why don't we meet somewhere in the middle? Instead of taking many single cells, why don't we take many samples of larger sample size, say 20 to 300 cells at a time, and then use computation to figure out which alpha and which beta paired together? So the experimental approach is we take a blood sample or a tissue sample, get the T cells, sample 200 to 300 of them into wells of a 69 well plate, and then of the T cells found in each well, let's sequence the alphas and betas in those wells. So our data is a list of alpha and beta chains of the wells, of the T cells in the wells. Okay. Right. So this is what our data looks like. If we look in each well, we have alphas and betas that we've sequenced. So the core idea of our approach is that with this repeated sampling, and the idea is that alpha chains and beta chains from the same T cell receptor will appear together more often than alphas and betas from different T cell receptors. So if we imagine these five T cells and we sample them into these six wells, get the alpha and beta chains, and look at, in this case, how many times alpha 1 co-appears with all of the betas, we can see that alpha 1 and beta 1 from this blue T cell co-appear together more often than alpha 1 and the other betas, which they're not from the same T cell receptor. So with this idea, we try to measure it with a heuristic association score, and how we define it is that the association score between chain alpha I and chain beta j is equal to, by going through all of the wells and then adding up the number of times that they co-appear in the same well, scaled inversely by the number of chains of each type in that well. And intuitively, what we're basically saying is that if we find two chains together in a well of two cells, there's a higher probability that they belong together versus two chains that come in a well of, say, 1,000 cells. So with that in mind, what we do in our approach to determine pairs is that with our data set, we take a subset of the wells in that data set, usually 3/4 of them, calculate association scores based on that subset of data, and then in each well, we try to create one-to-one alpha-beta pairings that maximizes the sum of the association scores of those pairings. And then we do that through each well, and then find the most common alpha-beta pairings, and we get an output of a list of alpha-beta pairs. We do the subsetting over and over again, and then we look across all of the alphas from each subset, look for the consensus alpha-beta pairs, and then get a final list of candidate pairs. So that was a long story short. If you want more information, please, more information about the approach and how we tested it with real and simulated data, please see our paper that was published this year. And so I'll just quickly go through the package. So it's available on CRAN. This is my GitHub page, and the thing that really motivated me to submit it was around the time when package number 10,000 was up for grabs. But sadly, I ended up with 10,004. And my wife has really funny videos of me like being stressed out, being like, I need to submit this package. So I tried, didn't quite make it there. So let's start with importing data. So there are tools before this point that can do the aligning and figuring out the sequences. And so once you have that, you can you need to make a CSV or any delimited file in this format where every row is a sequence. The first column tells records if it's an alpha chain or a beta chain. The second column records which well it came from, and then the third column is the actual sequence. And then there's a function here that just imports it into R in a way that AlphaBetter can use it. And the workhorse function here is called bagpipe. And what you do is you input the imported data, and then this rep argument here determines how many times that resampling procedure that I talked about happens. And then if we look at the output here, it's a list of alpha beta pairs. And finally down here, you can do some filtering to try to control the false pairing rate. And this is described more in the paper. Another feature the package has is it also tries to estimate the frequency of a given T cell receptor in the population of interest. And that's done with the freak estimate function here. And so what it does is it gives you the maximum likely estimate of its frequency and then a 95 confidence interval of it. And one thing I didn't mention before, it's not quite true that every T cell expresses one unique T cell receptor. There are some T cells that express two different receptors by expressing two different alpha chains. So these two functions, dual top and dual tail, try to figure that out. And then we just combine them together with R-bind. This is a matrix. And then we get a list of candidate dual T cell receptors. And then finally, putting everything together, we do frequency estimation on those all those dual T cell receptors, combine them together. And then we have a final list of our candidate T cell receptor pairs and their associated frequencies. And this is what you would give to an immunologist that's interested in this question. So that's the end. So moving forward, you can see that like the syntax isn't the best. I could really create an object-oriented system to simplify the coding. So maybe when I'm done with my thesis, that'll be the next thing I'll do for the package, but it does work. There's a vignette with the package that really explains all of this, and it's pretty much the code that was used for the simulations in the paper, so please look at that. So thanks for listening, and I'll take any questions. Yeah, so the question was, could I estimate the clone size? So that's based on this. So that's what the frequency estimation is doing. This is saying that that this clone that has these two alphas and this beta has represents 4% of the population. So that's the clone size, yeah. Yes? Mm-hmm. Right. So the question is, could we convert these numbers into CDR3? So I'm pretty sure this object here records the CDR3s, like which index corresponds to which CDR3. So that'd be easy to do. But I should write a function that does that for you. Oh, so yes, that's a good suggestion. Yeah. So it's basically just looking, what's the best way to describe this? So the likelihood is basically just a binomial distribution in that it's a question of, is that T cell going to be sampled in the well or not? And there are some extra terms looking at like experimental error. Basically, there's information in how often a T cell was sampled and how many wells, and then we use that to infer what its frequency is. So you're talking about if there are like substitution errors in the sequencing? Yeah. So the question was how does this account for errors, like sequencing errors? And basically, the whole reason why we have this complicated subsampling procedure was that is the thing that gets rid of the noise, that deals with the noise. When we tried to just do one pass through all the wells, a lot of those sequencing errors would be included into the pairing. And so that's why we came up with this really like convoluted resampling thing. So by design, it minimizes the number of times spurious sequences actually get paired.
But wouldn't that also influence your frequency estimation
at the end? So in the function, so it does require the person doing the sequencing to have an idea of what that error rate is. I don't remember if we put this in the paper or not, but we do have another experiment that you can do to try to estimate what that error rate would be, and then that would be an input into the function, and then that would try to accommodate for that.
Maybe I have a question. So do you plan to extend your method by including a covariate? For example, if you want to compare the alpha, beta in two different group of patients, or?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Yeah, so do you plan to extend your method to include the use of a covariate? For example, if you have two different group of patients and you would like to compare the alpha beta pair in the two and maybe compare the scores.
Yeah, we haven't thought about doing that. But yeah, that's a good idea. I think that might be something to do in the future, but okay. Yeah, haven't
Thank
thought
you.
To about that.
How much did the fact that you weren't in law school influence your naming of that?
Oh, that's completely the reason. So like one of the first iterations of this was bootstrapping, so I think that's where the B came from, and I forced the acronym to fit backpack, yeah.
Okay, great. So thank you, Edouard, for your talk.